Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 753. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
My Xbox is dead. Long live my Xbox. Cheers.
Yeah, for Tony and I, before we started recording, we're talking about his Xbox dying.
It's not dead yet, but certainly on the way. Like, it's got like all the signs of decay. I had to plug it into a hard line for internet because it won't connect to the Wi-Fi anymore. And like, the controllers won't connect. Now it's gotten to the point where I have to push the button to turn it on, because if I turn on the controller to turn on, I won't turn on at all.
Ooh, yeah, it sounds like everything inside is just fried.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Like, I got my money's worth. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I bought it at launch. It's been used for thousands upon thousands of hours. It's our primary gaming console. Like, I'm not surprised that it got to a point where it started dying. I do take good care of it, but it's also just like, how much can you use the machine before it dies?
Well, yeah,
and there's a point to hit.
You're finding out. At least like, it still turns on, because I've read some reports about Xboxes, and it was a dumb design decision on their part, but they loaded the BIOS onto the SSD, and SSDs have a shelf life. Like, you can only it doesn't make sense to me is like, you can only download so much and delete and download and delete. Like, there's only so much data that can be transferred onto it, and it hits like a hard cap at some point and just stops. So that's what's happening to some people's Xboxes, is they've downloaded like hundreds of terabytes of data, and the machine's just, it won't boot back up because the SSD just cannot read anything. So
yeah.
Hopefully they don't do that for this Project Helix. And
who knows?
Yeah. But
they're gonna cut as many corners as they can, because the price of RAM is so much.
Yep. I mean, as we were just saying about the Xbox, like, it's the first gen, like, where if you're trying to buy anything, it's now more expensive to buy it 7 years in than it was at launch, which is also happening to the Switch. They're raising their price up $50, so that's more expensive. And the Steam Deck, which is a four year old handheld, which was already kind of dated when it came out. It wasn't like top of the line hardware. It is increasing. Let's see here, $240 for the 512 gigabyte, and $300 for the 1 terabyte. Where those machines are now $800 and $950 respectively. Yeah. It makes me feel real good about my Ally X purchase last year for $1,000.
Yeah.
It's a better machine.
Yeah. Much better deal.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we'll not be getting one of those now. Not that I was planning it anyway. But games are so, consoles are so expensive. Game PCs, like, everything is just like amazingly expensive. I just don't buy anything.
Yeah. Our buddy Walt was explaining to us, or just kind of like commented on it when we were talking about the Steam Deck, that basically the RAM manufacturers are selling to the AI companies that are building these giant data centers. So consumer grade stuff is just non-existent right now, and it's really screwing everybody over.
It's going to crash. It's about to crash. Because AI companies are finding the cost of them maintaining their AI infrastructure is too high. So a lot of them are starting to scale back. And you're hearing companies now talking about how human labor is actually cheaper than AI. Which I suppose is bound to happen eventually. Like, all this competition is just going to drive up the prices, which is what's happened.
Right. And we've talked about AI before, and like, there's uses for it for sure, but
absolutely.
This idea that you can just eliminate people wholesale, which is what some of these companies were doing. And it seems like they were just like, oh, they're blaming it on AI, just cutting headcount. Yeah. But really, like, it was just, we're just trying to trim our margins so that we look better on paper. It's like, yeah, but now none of your work is getting done because
The AI can actually do the work that you hoped it would be able to do. Like, it just can't happen. And AI, you see all these stories now about AI becoming less effective as time goes by.
Yeah.
As it generates more data, and instead of pulling off of human data to make its decisions, it's pulling off of AI-generated data, which is unbalancing everything. It's like, it's overstanding.
Yeah, it's learning at such a rapid pace that it's just learning from itself, and itself is wrong half the time.
It's generating too much data as it uses that data to make decisions. It inevitably, it just erodes its own effectiveness.
Well, good luck with the new Xbox, Tony.
Yeah.
It'll
be a few weeks. Wait for it to actually. Well, I don't know that I'll wait for it to actually die, but I've got some travel coming up, and I don't know that I'll get one before.
Yeah,
before all that happens.
Like, if you're not gonna be there, like,
your
kids are good with theirs at their mom's house, and
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you won't need it because you won't be there. So, but it is, in my opinion, good time to have an Xbox because they.
It's unfortunate. Really, this whole situation is very unfortunate.
Like, there's some really good games, and one of which not available on PlayStation. It will be at some point, but it's not there yet. Forza Horizon 6 is out, and for a brief, about a week, it was the highest rated game of the year.
Well,
it has since been topped by a couple points by a game that comes out in about 2 hours called Mina the Hollower, which is the follow-up to Shovel Knight. So that game, stellar reviews, pulling a 93 on Open Critic. I'm looking forward to it. Jeff's looking forward to it. We'll have Mina talk on our next show, but you haven't played any Forza yet, right?
No, I was saving it for after my trip because it didn't really make sense to start a game like that and disappear for a couple weeks.
Yeah, you would just want to like drop into that world and just kind of get immersed in it for hours, which is what I've done. Jeff is joining us at some point tonight, so we're going to hold off on the Forza Horizon 6 talk. And I think it's our June service game anyway. So we'll be talking about it a bunch over the next couple episodes. But we'll hold off on Forza Horizon 6. And a couple other games also came out receiving stellar reviews.
Yeah. 007.
007, First Light. I'm very interested in that. I've heard it described as Uncharted meets Hitman. Like, I think that sounds pretty cool, but like with like cool Bond stuff going on. So I'm kind of into that one. Be interested to hear Earl's thoughts as a huge 007 fan, how this one shapes up on his list. And Lego Batman,
Like
Dark Knight came out,
a real Batman game.
Yeah, I guess under like it's done by Traveler's Tales. I think that's who makes the Lego games.
Yeah,
but support on this was done by Rocksteady, so like the Batman people,
Lego Batman.
helped to make the Lego Batman game, and I'm really interested in getting a shot at that. Haven't bought that yet. Haven't bought 007 yet. There's just too many things to play currently. But we will be talking about some of that stuff shortly. But we got some news to broach. Tony, what do you think about a new expansion to The Witcher 3 out sometime next year?
I love that game. I think it's awesome. I've been done with it for a long time. I don't really want an expanded Witcher 3 so much as I want Witcher 4.
Yeah.
It's very strange. It's a strange announcement, and it's been too long since the last expansion, 5-6 years.
Well,
maybe more.
Let's see. The Witcher 3. I was in a Discord chat and somebody said 12 years, but that seems exceptionally long. Yeah. Let's see here. DLC. Hearts of Stone was 2015. Blood and Wine was 2016. So 10 years.
10 years. It's been a decade.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing about this particular studio is they're obsessed with like updating their game to modern standards, like over and over and over, as opposed to like Bethesda, which is like, oh, we're just gonna remake the game and sell it to you again. Like they take that version and like keep remaking it for you without you having to like buy the game over again, which is great. Which means, like, if you go back to The Witcher 3, like, you're going to see a game that looks fantastic and awesome and looks like it belongs on a modern console. It's not going to be, like, a decade-old game. Because I played through it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And it looked awesome then, so I'm...
Did you play those expansions?
I did not play the expansions. I could go back for them. And the one other... The thing they do that's nice is they'll give you an upgraded character to just play through the expansion with, so you don't have to play through the whole game again.
Okay, that is nice. Yeah.
So I'm not against the idea, but it does seem like it's been a very long time.
Supposedly this is going to lead into The Witcher 4, so maybe like story-wise it makes sense to take a look at it, but it's nuts. 10 years between expansions, and 11 years between the game coming out. Cause I think it was 2015. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
No, can't hear you at all.
My voice sounds normal.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Okay, because you guys were all fucked up, and then I moved my mic and it fixed, and I noticed one of my cords was loose, but I think it should be good now.
There you go. You're not a Witcher fan, correct?
No, I knew what you guys were talking about though, because I saw that like earlier tonight. I was like, what? Who's wanting this?
Well, yeah, I don't know who wants it, but they're doing it.
I mean, Witcher's great. I love more for Witcher, but I want a new game. I don't want an expansion.
So like a 10-year-old or over 10-year-old game, right? Like 13 years.
Yeah, I think the Witcher 3 is maybe 13 years. The as we just discovered, the last expansion to come out for that was 2016. So
yeah, it just seems weird. Why wouldn't you just put whatever you're doing into the new game? I don't know.
Obviously, but I think what they've announced of The Witcher 4 is Ciri is the main character, not Geralt. So maybe this ties up and like links into that in some way. So it's supposed to like lead into The Witcher 4. So, but yeah, that's coming. It was also Dragon Quest Day yesterday. Which, when you go, it's, you know, when it's Mario Day, like, you expect, like, a big Mario announcement, especially if it's an anniversary year. Yeah. And Dragon Quest Day, it is the 40th anniversary of Dragon Quest, and they had Square had Dragon Quest Day, whatever the hell that means. And they had like some sort of like direct where two games were revealed. One was re-announced, basically. Dragon Quest 12 has gone through a overhaul. They've scrapped whatever they were working on, and they've gone back to kind of like their more upbeat anime type style of visuals from 11. And Beyond Dreams has been revealed, but I don't know. That game looks really, really early, so I don't know that that's coming anytime soon. But Jeff, you have been on a Dragon Quest kick. Did you get a chance to see the trailer?
I just saw the news. I didn't watch the trailer. And it seemed unclear from the news like when it was scrapped and restarted. So yeah, I guess I should have watched the trailer to see how it looks. But I so overdosed on that series that I just almost don't care.
you're like I don't need any more right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You did play like four games.
Yes.
Of that in like the span of like 3 or 4 months. So
they're all, you know, very similar, and so it's like I know what it is now. I got my fill. Yeah, I'll probably play 12 when it comes out, but I'm not like, you know.
You liked 11, right?
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, an 11, my guess would, I haven't played 11. My guess is 11 definitely plays more modern than a 1, 2, 3, or 7. So,
yep.
Cool. The other game announced was Dragon Quest Monsters, some sort of headline under that. I don't know what those games are, so not much to discuss there. And Earl dropped this for us earlier in the day. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 has been revealed. And as Earl mentioned to us, he was confused because he thought that there already was a Modern Warfare 4, but that was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. This is the fourth game in the remake series of Modern Warfare. So the seventh Modern Warfare game?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
The numbering is just kills me. But then again, you know, they're owned by Xbox now, and Xbox goes from they go from Xbox to 360 to one. Like, they don't, numbers mean nothing anymore.
No. I did watch the trailer. It seems like they're moving away from Russia as the bad guy. This time it's North Korea, explicitly called out as North Korea in the game. And it looks like maybe a lot of it takes place in South Korea or in North Korea, which is an interesting change. I don't know how it's going to play out, but those campaigns are roller coaster rides. So I'm on board if it's a traditional one. The last one, whatever the last Black Ops was a weird. How the campaign was delivered was very strange. So if this is a normal one, I'm kind of on board, but. Jeff, I think you're the only other one that plays Call of Duty for the
anymore,
like as the campaign. So
yeah,
any interest in Modern Warfare 4?
We'll see the mood I'm in when it comes.
Yeah, it might be one of those ones I wait a year on because it's not gonna.
Didn't get great reviews, so that.
Yeah. Well, the last one at least was on Game Pass, so this one won't be on Game Pass. So
it will be a year later.
Yeah, in a year we could be talking about Modern Warfare 4. So
yeah, there we go. I'll play it for free. That price is right.
That's what I got for news. But Jeff, I was waiting for you because we've both been playing a bunch of what was the highest rated game up until Mina the Hollower reviews released this week.
Oh, it had higher reviews than Forza, huh?
Yeah.
Like Mina overall. Is,
yeah, just above it, but yes, higher reviews. Forza Horizon 6. We've both been playing it. I think you burned out maybe a little bit on it and have moved on to other stuff. You'll definitely return to it at some point, but
yeah, well yeah.
Kind of.
So we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and Jeff did the crazy thing and went and spent the $60 on the premium upgrade edition. So you got to play it like 4 days early. So you played a little bit more than I had and have kind of like hit a wall with progression. So you back.
Yeah.
But otherwise, how do you feel about Forza Horizon 6?
I mean, no huge surprise because the series has been great pretty much all along, but yeah. It's you know, it's what you expect, but it was really good. I was really digging it. I think they even added more things than before to do. Yes. Like, this is not just barn finds. There's also like treasure cars, which I think that's new.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot more barn finds too.
Well, you got further than me, I guess.
So you can check. So like there's two journals in the game, and they'll actually list out all the ones that are there. And normally there's like 10 or 12, and I think there's close to 20 barn finds. I only have three of them so far, but and then there's like 9 or 10 of these treasure finds too.
Okay, I only have three of the barn finds. I don't know what happened with the barn finds for me, because when they first explain it, they're like, oh, you'll get a clue to where they are. But then, like, my map just populated with where they all are, and I was just able to just go grab them all. So I don't know if that was, like, a difficulty setting that I did, or, like, that was, like, part of, like, buying it early. I have no idea. Like, was that how the treasures were for you, Chris? Were, like, did they just show up on your map at some point, or...
So if you drive close enough to them, they do.
No, they like populated my map. I just drove around and grabbed them all. So like, I don't know.
So they were just on your map.
Yeah. I was like, you guys just explained this as I have to listen to the clues. And it's just like literally on my map. They're just at that spot. Like there was no.
Yeah. So if you go into the journal, or not the journal, if you like tab over to like your cars, there's also treasure cars. And if you hit that, there's like a bunch of, it's basically a grid, and as you drive near something, you'll get an alert from, you know, May, your like little garage buddy, and she'll be like, hey, there's this type of car, and here's a picture of like where it might be at. But I didn't realize that yours just populated. It may be the fact that you have the premium edition, so it may just, there's something called a treasure map, and I don't know if that comes with the premium edition.
Okay, it must be something like that, because like it didn't make sense to me. I was like, you guys literally just said like you would give me like pretty like, yeah, you look at a picture like, this is a giant open world. I'm supposed to find some like fucking field with a fence. It's like, dude, what? Like,
well, so the clues like do give you, so it's like, here's the region. And that's a big change from past games, is that the map has been segmented into these like little sections, which you can segment by pressing, I think, LB when you're on the map. And those all have like completion percentages. So like the grid will be like, this car is in the Otani region, and it'll give you like a little picture, like as you said, like it's like, oh, here's a fence, here's a tower or something.
This looks like anything.
Yeah.
Oh, there might be a church nearby, or you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
right.
Okay, where am I going? Like,
I found a couple of the treasure ones. I didn't have it. I didn't have it like you did, but it was like, there's something in this area and it's near a shrine. So I'm like driving around. It's like, okay, there's a shrine over here and it's facing a waterfall. I found the waterfall. If I drive towards the shrine, I think I'll be able to, and like the car was there. It's like facing the waterfall.
That would be neat that would be neat to discover it like that. But like,
yeah,
it just seems like such an insurmountable thing. But like, based on this picture, like
some of them are crazy. It's like, here's a golf cart. Good luck.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a golf course somewhere? I don't know. Like, you know, what I love about the game is kind of the things that I love about all of them is that, I think the main thing I love about Forza is the way they constantly string you along with, like, just like, it's like a slot machine. It's just constantly in fact, it has a literal slot machine. It's just constantly giving you shit. You're constantly getting new cars and getting to try out new toys. And it's so cool, like, how different the cars can feel. You know, they have like 500 something cars in this game, and like everyone you get has a little bit different feel to it, and you'll get ones that you like more. And what I found kind of challenging or whatever at first in this ended up being what, like, I was like, oh yeah, this is what you like about this game. Like, the racing is kind of hardcore, and it's kind of, it's really about how well can you race. You know, there's no gimmicks. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's some rubber banding, but like, you know, it's not like Mario Kart or Arcade Racer. It's like, dude, if you run a bad race, you're gonna lose, and you're gonna lose badly. So I don't know. That's my feelings on it. My problem is I got pretty late in the game, and you know, just like the other ones, you're building up to these like showcase events.
Yep.
And it's like right around like the fourth wristband, like I was like, man, it's taking forever. Like, I had to like really start scouring the map and like, okay, what race did you not do? What events have you not done? And it's just that thing that they do in video games. It's not just racing games where it's like, you know, there's like a gatekeeping thing that happens. Oh, you need this many things to get to the next big thing. And I found this way more than the other Forzas, at least to my memory, as you got late in the game, it got really hard to reach those next gates. Like, I was just like, I feel like I did, like, you'll finish a race and it'll suggest, oh, do this race next. All of a sudden, I'd like run out of races and it was just telling me to do stupid shit. I'm like, okay, I'm 10,000 points short of getting to the like next, you know, showcase event. If I win a race, I win like 100 points. So now I need 9,900. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
yeah,
it pissed me off after a couple of days. I was like, man, I'm sick of, like, I shouldn't feel like I'm bound, like hitting my head against the wall trying to progress.
So you should be getting 350 if you win an event that you haven't done already, because you should get 250 for the event.
Just not if you're on easy.
Oh. Huh.
And I thought about that after a while. I'm like, huh, maybe I fucked myself. Because, like, after I lost a bunch of the, like, early on, I was bad. You know, when you have bad cars or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And I finally said, like, you're losing a lot of races. Would you like to bump it down to easy? And I was like, okay. And I found it still challenging throughout, like, as I progressed. And so I was like, I'm going to keep it here. Like, at one point, it did say, you've won a lot of races now in a row. Would you like to go back up? And I was like, no. And right before I quit,
my ass kicked.
Pardon me, Chris. Like, right before I quit, I was like, huh, maybe I'm getting less points and they don't adjust how much you need to progress. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
It could be. That sucks. If they did.
That sounds like a flaw, though. Like, you know?
Yeah. So I have seen some like weird stuff, and you evidently hadn't run into it, but this was making the rounds on social media too. Is some of the AI avatars are fucked. Like, it's not all the time, but you'll end up in a race where, and the big one that everyone seems to be talking about is Bowie Knife String of Numbers.
So that's not like an actual player that
I think really it is. Well, that's the thing, is that I've seen clips of people, like, they're racing a perfect race and this guy will just blow by them at the last minute.
Maybe it's like
straight away.
Maybe it's them just trolling us. Like, this fucking demon in a game.
It does seem like, it seems like Xbox social media at least knows about it, because they made a Memorial Day post being like, happy start of summer to everybody except Bowie Knife, whoever. right now they're kind of like, it feels like they might be trolling, but I got fucked by that. This avatar ended up in a queue with me, and I'm normally pretty good. Like, not great, but like I can hold my own. I can, like, I normally am.
Do you agree with me about the racing in the game? Like, do you find it like kind of challenging? It is like really actually skill based. Like, how well can you navigate these turns and come out of them? And
yeah,
how do you approach the, you know, like, it grows on you as you play the game. You're like, hey, this is really like,
I'd call the game like a simcade game, because like the racing is more. It's more simulation based than, like, it's more like Forza Motorsport than like Burnout Paradise, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you can still do weird, goofy shit because, like, you're still flying around corners and
get big air, like,
yeah,
you know, flying 1,000 feet or whatever.
Yeah, it's like insane stuff that, like, you wouldn't do in a normal car in a
but it
real.
It still feels grounded in like real. Yeah, physics and stuff.
You feel like you're driving a real car.
Yeah.
And so I would call it Simcade. And yeah, it's hard. It can be hard.
It's like, it's challenging, but like, yes, as you play the game more, that's like the fun of it. It's like, man, this is like a real fucking, this is a real fucking racing game. This isn't, I could just fucking turn my brain off and easily drift around corners and boost out of that. Like, you know, there is no fucking boost, as far as I know.
Yeah, if you oversteer, like, you're gonna fall behind unless you rewind and like fix your turn.
And that's another thing I love is putting the rewind in there, because it is like, it's so technical that it's just like, man, you could totally fuck everything on one bad move. Yeah, I love you being able to decide, I could do that turn better, like. Or I totally fucked that turn up, and
or like I just completely missed a gate because I misjudged. Like, I was trying to like cut the turn a little bit light, and I just,
my car was careening, and I accidentally slipped outside the checkpoints because I didn't have my car in control yet. Yeah.
So like that like, because it has the rewind, it feels a little more forgiving than any normal simulation type game.
I forgot where you were going and when I butted in.
I don't know either. But they added way more collectibles this time around. So there's all the bonus boards, but they've also added these things called mascots, which are in each of the regions. There's a set of them to collect. And Jeff, I would recommend doing that, like trying to pick up.
I've been doing all, dude. Like, but after a while, it's like, that's boring. You want to do races, and I would go back and do races that, I didn't get first place in.
Yeah,
you don't get that much. There's not that much of a difference between, like, I would get a little more points, but it wasn't much.
You only get X amount. Like, you get points for doing it, and that's where your bulk of the points come, and then for actually winning the event is less.
Which, like, at first I'm going back and going, oh, there's a bunch of ones that, like, I did not get first. I maybe should have stuck with them, but I'm gonna go back and do that. And then I'm like, I'm noticing my, like, points go up by like 10 points. I'm like, okay, I need 10,000 points. And so, yeah, I think I fucked this. Maybe when I get back into it, I just go back up to normal and I'll start earning.
See what happens, right? Yeah.
Because I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure you get less horizon points on easier difficulties, but they do not adjust how many you need. I'm like pretty sure of that. So I think that might be part of it. But you said you also got kind of gatekeeped near the end.
I'm on. So I have. I just did whatever the launch sequence one was, like the so there's like a rocket ship that goes off, and that is the next to last bracelet that you get.
I thought I did the rocket ship one.
So you're right where I am then.
I'm trying to get the last one. I don't know.
Yeah. And yeah, like the one before that, I was like, this is a lot. Like I had to do like 15 events to unlock it to get to that one. And now it's like, yeah, I think when it triggered over, it was like 12,000 points. I'm now down to like 10. And yeah, it's going to take me a bit, because even if I get all the points that are available to me, it's still going to take like 30 more events.
Yes. So I was just like, I don't know. I didn't like the feel I got of that. And then like after 2 days of doing that, I was like, God, I really felt like I was banging my head against the wall. Like just looking for like, and like some of the like non-racing things that you could do, like some of them I don't like. Like I don't like drift zones.
Oh, I hate drift zones.
Yeah. So like,
I'm just not going to like them. So I don't like,
I like danger signs and speed traps. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How fast can I drive?
Yeah.
How fast can I drive by this camera, and how far can I jump off this stupid cliff?
Yeah, those are the ones I really love. But then, like, yeah, if like all I have is like, if all I have is drift zones, I'm like, I'm not even gonna do them. Like, I don't want to. Like,
have you done like the street racing?
Yeah, but that's a different.
Is that a different set of points?
I think it might be. It might be part of, because then there's also this like story bucket of points, which I don't understand all that. It might be in that bucket. I'm not sure. Like the mascot, yeah. I think the mascots give you story points, not the horizon points.
No, they give you some horizon points. Not a lot. Huh. It's like five per, but
okay.
Like that's what, 5 times 200 is 1,000. So
do you do these? Are you doing the story stuff, like the hey, go on a day trip?
No, so I haven't done any of that stuff yet.
I've done a little of it, but it's just like, I'm like, this is not helping me get to the next. I want the next showcase event.
Yeah, like you want the big things. Like that stuff's fun. Like I think the stories are neat, but that's like stuff I do when I'm done.
Yeah,
like, like I've done all the racing, or like I've done the campaign of the race. And now I can just kind of like chill and do other crap. But one thing I did do this time out was I like filling in all the roads, and it's not an achievement in this one, but I like getting all the roads. And what they've done, and I don't think this was in 5. I know it wasn't in 3 or 4, because you had to pay to fast travel in 3 or 4. Once you drive over a road, any part that you've driven on can be fast traveled to for free.
So basically my son-in-law or whatever, like, told me this, and I was like, what? I didn't even realize you could fast travel at all. And he's like, yeah, you go select the road or whatever, and you could do it. And I was like, what? And then I like started messing with it, and he was talking about, so that was in 5, because he has not played.
Okay. So it is in 5.
Yeah. But I slowly started to realize, okay, it's where you've been.
Yep. Yeah, you can't just fast travel to like a place you haven't driven over yet. But so I...
That's really cool, though. I like that. I
basically drove over the entirety of the map, except for the... There's like this one location in the bottom right corner that you can't go to until you get the final wristband. It's called Legend Island. And if you try and drive over it, the screen fades to black and it kicks you out. Like it drops you back on the road facing the other way. So I haven't completed those roads, but I can do anywhere else. And so I was able to pick up all of the mascots, all of the bonus boards. And now as I'm wrapping up the racing, I could just fast travel to the races. Like, then in past games, it's like, shit, like I need all of these, and I have to drive 6 miles to the next race.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself.
I mean, I have not gotten every, like, but like for the most part, I can fast travel to what I want to, or, you know, I won't be far.
Yeah. I spent like a ridiculous amount of time on Sunday, just chasing down bonus boards. And some of them are like on top of like top of buildings.
Oh, I hate those. God,
yeah. Man. But like what I do like about the game is that it drops you into basically you're in a live game, like with other people, like they drive by you and I'm watching cars like I'm like, I'm trying to get this one. I can't figure out how to get up there. And I'm watching cars like try it as well. And it's like, OK, maybe if I try that angle. So like everybody's kind of like working together to like try and get them. It's like I've never been able to get them before because I never saw how anybody would even approach it. And it was like, oh, I understand. I understand what I have to do now to do it. So I have, I think, 190 of the bonus boards. There's 10 more that are on the other island. Don, our former co-host, he texted me on Monday. He was like, dude, I stopped playing on Saturday night and was like, all right, I'm up on Chris by like 40 mascots and 100 roads. And he's like, and I came back this morning and you have all the mascots and you have almost all the boards and you're up on me on roads by like 150. What the hell is going on? It's like, yeah, I went a little crazy just driving around like collecting shit because I was that was what I was having a good time with.
Did you get to that other island?
No. So I did,
and I don't know remember how I got over there.
Yeah, so I saw you had the achievement for unlocking all the locations, and I was like, how did Jeff get there?
I don't remember. Because I did some event, and I'm like, huh.
Did you do it? So you told me you played some Eliminator, which is the it's like the Fortnite, the Battle Royale car mode.
Oh, maybe.
That unlocks the entire map, like, when you're playing that. So if you ended up over there somehow, it might have popped.
Maybe
That region.
And so now I can fast travel there, you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So
but maybe it was that. It was right around when I quit. And right around when I quit was I was trying anything to get points, including playing multiplayer. That must be how I got on the island. Yeah. That's how you get over there.
I'm sitting there talking to Don and I'm like, the game soft locked me. Like I can't get all the bonus boards and I can't do all the roads and regions because I can't get to this island. He's like, yeah, you got to get the gold wristband. You gotta finish it off. So that's where I'm at. I'm doing all the races now. It's a blast, man. I'm really enjoying it. As you said, like you end up like with the cars you really like, and they do feel different. I did one of the seasonal challenges today, and it was like, hey, you got to do this multiplayer thing. It's like a drift race battle, and I chose a Celica, but I thought I was in my like I normally drive around the open world with a Lancer. And so I'm in the Celica and I'm like, why is my car feel like shit? And I'm halfway down this mountain and I'm like, cause it's not my car. It's a different car that I had to choose for this dumb race that I didn't really want to do.
The Lancer
and you notice
so good.
Yeah. Like like the Lancer feels so good driving, but then like you're driving a different car, like a Celica or I was driving a Bronco. Things are wild. Like they're all over the place. Or
you know what
too tight.
You know what I drive when I need speed though? Is I don't know if I got this for buying like the upgraded edition, but it's like this fucking sick fucking damn it, why is my their pickups, why am I blanking out what their fucking pickups are, because I want one. Tacoma. It's like this fucking blinged out whatever fucking Tacoma. It has like a 999 rating. And I think it could go like, you could get up to like fucking 150 in like no time at all, dude. Like I just could pass any sort of fucking speed trap thing like with it, like so easily. Does not control like as well as like the Lancer maybe, but still controls pretty goddamn fucking good. Here's my question. How are we the only two that played this? Don't we all have Game Pass? Didn't Tony like?
What I was saying before the show, I love this game. I really want to play it. I'm about to go out of town for a long time, so I don't want to start it, play it for a couple hours, and then leave it behind because I won't come back.
That makes sense because like I have been engrossed with it for the past week. Like,
It's not a hard game to go back to, I'm sure, but yeah, I could see like not wanting to get hooked before you can't play it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. And like you want to get into the flow of it, so it's like, I get it.
But it's good, I'd say probably the best one. I don't know, like they all feel really good. From
I'd like to think it's the best one since it's, you know, new.
Yeah. So
best soundtrack though, Chris. Best soundtrack.
I don't like the soundtrack as much as I have in the past.
Me too, but I did find songs that I did really like.
Yeah, there's songs on there. And there's more radio stations. It's just, I don't know. I look back on like the soundtracks to 3 and 4 and they're like so much better.
Yeah.
I have long said that Forza Horizon 3 is my favorite in the series. This may overtake it because it has everything that you want out of it.
And
it
more.
Has a better and more like,
yeah.
But it also, like, in 3, 4, 5, like, you're the superstar driver in that. Like, you're not starting out building up. And this is like, hey, you're just a nobody again. So you got to kind of build up your rep. So, like, there's, like, a good progression going on. It's not like you're not just expected to be the best ever here. They've added some story. I don't think it's not vital. And in fact, that maybe there's a little too much story early on, but I like that they tried with it. There's also, and Jeff, I think you've done this. There's like, they've added something called jobs where it's like, you're like a delivery. They basically Crazy Taxi, but for food. Like,
yeah.
They've added the stories that they introduced in 4. They, there's just so much more stuff to it, and it's just built on everything that 3, 4, and 5 had, and brings back some of the stuff from 1 too. That I think it may very well be the best playing one, best designed map. The map is huge.
Most cars. Yeah. So it's like it's if you like this series. I mean,
yeah.
I think. Everything from 3 on has just been amazing.
Yes.
And so, but like, if you like the series, this lives up to all that and more. It's really great. What is your favorite showcase event? Mine's pretty easy.
So they're showcase events and what are they? Rush events. So like they think they trade off. I'm not a huge fan of the rush events, which are more like obstacle courses or like maze likes. But I did enjoy racing the mech.
Yes.
That was fun.
That's my answer as well.
It's ridiculous.
I'm like how are they going to top it at the end? There's got to be something crazier at the end. But
yeah, because like the mech is, I think, like your first showcase event. And then the rocket ship is the next to last one. Which is a really cool sequence. Like you're in the middle of a jump and the space, like the rocket is taking off from the launch pad and you get the blast. And then the screen kind of goes black as like all the smoke and dust settle in. It's really neat. It's really cool. So that's Forza Horizon 6. Tony will be playing it when he gets back from all his traveling. Looking forward to hearing his thoughts on that. But Tony, Jeff and I have been talking a lot about what we were playing. What have you played since last time out?
The one game I've been playing obsessively is the same one I was playing obsessively last time.
Mm-hmm. Hearts of Iron 4.
Yeah.
Jeff remembers.
No, I don't remember. I'm looking at our Discord seeing he's playing it.
Yeah, Hearts of Iron 4 still at it, huh?
You know, it's what I played the game for more than 100 hours at this point, and I'm still figuring stuff out. Which kind of says how complicated it is. It's not an easy game to learn. But I played in Italy. I played as the U.S. I was like, okay, we're going to try the bad guy. So I'm playing as Germany. You know, in World War II, Germany, not exactly somebody you root for. But I tried to build the German economy, conquer Poland, conquer North. There's some fun stuff about how the game plays and, like, how hardcore you can get into it. But it kind of gives you this, like, 30,000 foot view of the war, where you're like managing the game and like then watching your armies like do your bidding, which I think is the funnest part. Like you're like, okay, I'm gonna attack Poland, and so I want my armies to go here and here, and you like build this plan, and then you declare war, and then you hit like the go button for each of the armies, and then you watch them attack and see if your plan works, which I think is super super cool. It kind of gives you the real feeling of like managing war, as opposed to like controlling it from every level.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, you can hop in and manage the individual like its divisions or the scale of the game. You could hop in and like make the divisions attack in a certain direction or whatever. But you can't like decide how the divisions are going to attack. Like each division has its own commander with their own personality, which determines like what sort of tactics they use if they do stuff. I don't know, the game is it's super hard, it's very very hardcore. I'm getting way far into it. The unfortunate thing is, as excited as I am, I have a huge patch for the game coming out on D-Day of all days, because they do a huge patch every year on D-Day that changes like the fundamentals of the gameplay. So like I spent all this time learning the game, and now they're going to change a bunch of stuff right as I think I'm finally figuring it out. It makes me a little sad.
Is that patch going to like mess up your save files too, or?
That's the other, the big problem is the patch always is not compatible with the previous game files. So I have to start over. Yes. Like I'm finally I know how to build a tank division and how to get those tank divisions in like a formation that surrounds troops so that they like surrender. It's great. Look, I can do that awesomely. And now I don't know how to do that anymore. And
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Anything else that maybe you poked at?
No, just this. A lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big game, so there's a lot going on in that. Jeff, you play anything else?
I picked up Crimson Desert a few days ago. I'm only about 10 hours in, so
so
literally scratched the surface of the game. I can't speak to it too much.
Before you start, Tony, do you think Crimson Desert is a Jeff game?
No, I don't.
Okay, so I thought it would be, and
absolutely
I think
it would be.
Yeah, it's Jeff. Explain what you gave me, like a conglomeration of games that you thought it was kind of.
Yeah.
Like Assassin's Creed meets Breath of the Wild meets.
Yeah.
Was there Souls in there too?
Yes.
Was there like
yes. The game it most reminds me of is Assassin's Creed, like modern Assassin's Creed. But
So I could see where Tony's like, no, it's not a U game because you.
I like the new Assassin's Creed though. I thought Shadows was amazing. You know, like, okay. So,
it doesn't look like those games. It looks like an MMO.
I think maybe setting it makes it you think it's not, but it really does. Like it really feels a lot like the Assassin's Creed games to me. But
that makes it's me also, more interested
in it. It's also like, what if we just fucking stole like from every open world game? Like it, there's stuff that's like straight up stolen from the modern Zeldas. Early on, you get this basically ultra hand ability where you can like psychically pick things up, basically do force moves on objects and lift them up and move them around and rotate them. You know, there's puzzles.
Just Sky World too, isn't there?
Kind of, yeah. Like again, I've seen only a fraction of this game, but there is parts where there's parts like early on where you're like in the sky, and that feels like Tears of the Kingdom because you mess around in the sky and that a lot. They're pretty blatant about some of the things that this, like the Ultra Hand thing from Zelda is like straight up ripped from Zelda. You get wings early on, which function pretty much just like the paraglider from the new Zeldas. And where the Souls-like comparison comes in for me is you just get moments of atmosphere that feel like that. I think it has a lot to do with like the setting. You know, if it feels like it's set in the type of world that FromSoft game would be. But I dig that. That's part of why, that's a huge part of why I love FromSoftware's games is like just this feel, like the cool armor, the cool lighting, like exploring this fucking world where you don't know what you're gonna see around every corner. I think it's like really like if you're into this genre, I think it's totally worth checking out. My main caveat so far is that like the controls are a little clunky, and which is like again, I'm coming off of I just played Tears of the Kingdom, which is like the Switch 2 version of that is like one of the most polished games I've played. It's so fucking excellent. And, you know, the controls here are not as good. Or think about, like, I think one of my favorite things about the new Assassin's Creed games, like Shadows, it's like silky smooth controls, right?
Yeah.
This does not feel like that. It just doesn't. And
so, explain the convoluted shit you had to do to, like, pick something up.
Oh, yeah. So this happened to me yesterday. I've been messing around going to see, like, I like basically looked up a YouTube video. Here are the cool things you could go grab, like, super early. Like, get this badass armor that fucking, like, you would normally probably not, like, never even find. And then get that early on in the game. Give me, like, a leg up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and stuck in this one house and was basically in there to steal this necklace. You have to do this puzzle box, which I could not figure out, like, mechanically at all. Like, it has a bunch of dials on it, and if you press, like, up or down on the dial once, it doesn't actually fully, like, the dial will, like, halfway spin, and you have to move your thumb again to get to go to the next, like, so, like, if you look on the video, people are like, oh my god, dude, like, they expect you to look at your thumb and see that the dial's not going all the fucking way unless you press it twice. Then I get the box open. There's the object inside there, right? And there is nothing to indicate that you could pick up the objects inside there. If I look at a drawer to my right, a little icon will pop up. If I face it directly, it'll show press X to open drawer. There's a million things in this room just like that. But the object inside the puzzle box I just opened does not fucking do that. I'm like, what the fuck? And I start, like, I finally hold up my lantern. You're like, if you tap the L1, like, you know, L left bumper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll, like, hold up a lantern, and it's kind of like you focusing on something. And, like, so, like, weirdly, if you're walking around and you want to talk to an NPC, you sometimes have to do that. Like, you
you can't just walk up to them and, you know, press A or whatever to talk. You have to, like, focus on, like, basically, Z-target them and then fucking talk to them. So I had to Z-target this, you know, I had to target this thing, and then it showed that it was something I could pick up. But it was grayed out, and I'm like, why the fuck can I not pick this thing up? I'm fucking starting to search around on the internet, and I see one comment from somebody that says, you have to wear a mask, because if you wear a mask, that means you can steal things easier. And I'm like, what the fuck? How would you ever figure that out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah,
you do research. You obviously have to scour the bowels of the internet in order to play this game.
So I can give you another great example of this, which is the armor set I went and got. It's, and this armor set is so badass, and it looks fucking like straight out of Dark Souls. In order to get it, like, all the pieces of it were hidden behind waterfalls, which is awesome, right? So how would you get behind a waterfall? You would just, like, walk through it, right? Like in any other fucking game, like any Zelda. Yeah. When you walk into waterfalls in this game, it causes damage to you and knocks you back, the force of the water. So in order to do, like, in order to get behind a waterfall, you have to do a stabbing motion move, like, and stab your way through the waterfall. But stabbing is not a normal attack. So, like, stabbing, like, is not even, I didn't even know how to fucking do it. I watched some guy's video, and he was like, go across the map here and stab through this waterfall, and you could get this sword. And I was like, okay. I traveled really fucking far across the map. There's a series of waterfalls cascading down this mountain. I tried every one, and I couldn't do it. Then I realized, oh, fuck. I have to walk all the way back to the town, like the main town, and there's no fast travel. And then I started looking up fast travel, and it's like, no, there's fast travel points in the game. You just have to find them and step onto this plate. So, like, there had been a fast travel point in the town that I could have gotten this whole time, but instead I had to walk for 20 fucking minutes across the fucking map again. You start to see like some of the quirks here.
Yeah.
A lot of quirks. But all these things said, like, a lot of, like, and I feel like, on top of, like, some of the awkwardness, like, the controls are counterintuitive a lot of times. But, like, on top of that, there's a lot of controls to learn. Like, there are so many fucking things you have to learn, like, that get thrown at you early on that you'll actually forget, like, oh, I could do this. Like, I could hold up my sword and use it to catch light and use it to, like, burn fucking bushes or, like you forget because they just throw too many fucking, like, there's, like, I forgot what game I was talking about on here once. I think it might have been Spider-Man, where I was like, this game has the most controls ever. This game has the most controls ever. Like, it's just, there's so many fucking things to learn, and you'll forget them. But those, all of these things are, like, things, like, as time goes on with the game, they're all going to become second nature to you. Like, I know how to get through waterfalls now. I know sometimes there's wonky things where, like, I have to, like, Z-target and focus in order to even interact with at all. So I think that some of the early frustrations will give way to, like, how awesome it'll get, because it's pretty awesome so far, and I would imagine, like, games like this just get, like, cooler and cooler. You start to fight, like, really cool bosses, you know. I'm 10 hours in. I literally just did a mission that was teaching you how to cook. So, early days in the game for me, but I did have fun going out and getting my awesome fucking armor set, and now I know how to get fast travel points. There's just things.
You do know how to get fast travel, or you don't?
Yeah, you just have to find. Okay. You have to find plates that you have to step on, and
so
then,
like Diablo.
Yeah, is it? I don't remember.
There's like those things you have to, like, walk over, and in Diablo, then it's like, then you can go back to that and go to any other plate on the.
But you can't. You have to, like, find these plates and, like, deliberately stand on them for a few seconds. You can't just walk over it and it activates. Okay. It is
And like, you know, they can sometimes be hidden. They're not like everywhere. And like, so like, so I've known this for a day or two now. I have two fast travel. I have one at the main town and one that I just discovered tonight when I was doing some mission, but it was at a convenient spot because it was on top of a mountain. And then I had to go do something, and then they're like, return back to the top of the mountain. And I forgot that I grabbed the plate, so I walked up the whole fucking road to the fucking mountain when I didn't have to this time. But, you know, it wasn't that long of a walk. But I think if you're in, again, if you're into, like, these open-world RPGs like this, and you like Assassin's Creed, and you like Zelda, ah, shit, if you like Elden Ring, I think it's worth checking out for sure. It just, I think that in the state it's in right now, and it has had lots of updates, it does require a little patience. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that no matter how much you update it, like, all that's going to go away. Some of that stuff is just kind of baked in. But, you know, you go into a game this big, you have to expect it's going to take a while to understand all the quirks. And like, I don't even understand leveling up 100% yet. Like, I know it requires these, like, cube things that you get. Actually, I think I've started to figure it out tonight. Sometimes you have, like certain skills require other, like, have other requirements too. Like, you have to have this object or this thing on top of the cubes in order to get it. Like, apparently there's a bunch of magic in this game and I cannot access it yet. Like, even if I go on the skill tree, it's like, there's one thing I tried to learn, this thing called Lightning Surge, and I press learn skill and it goes to fill up. Yeah, you have to hold everything in this game is you have to hold down. It's never just select. You have to hold down until a thing fills, like a little orb fills up.
Mm-hmm.
And it fills up to the top and it says, you can't learn this skill this way. I'm like, then why is it on the skill tree? Like, what the fuck? So yeah, there's a lot of things that are rough around the edges, but I mean, this, I would predict that I'm going to get many, many fucking hours out of this game. I have a feeling it's going to be a game I play all year in between the other big releases that come out.
We'll never nice. See Jeff again.
Yeah. Jeff's going to
I don't leave the house. It's cool.
He's going to be playing Crimson Desert and then, like, doing a race in Forza Horizon 6 trying to fill that final meter and playing all the other games that are out as well. Or coming out. Real briefly, because I don't think I'd finish it when we last talked about it. I did beat Vampire Crawlers.
Hell yeah.
I have two achievements left now.
Holy shit, you went harder than me on it.
Yeah, I'm almost done. And they're easy.
In my defense, though, I played the game on two different systems. So
yeah. Yeah, you had already played it on Switch,
yeah.
Before then jumping over to Xbox. And you had a bugged achievement, which sucks.
Yeah, still not fixed. Hopefully they fix that one day.
That does kill like momentum when it's like, see? This isn't unlocking.
Well, you're the reason the people who got this bug were people that played the demo. So you were rewarded for not playing the demo.
Not playing the demo. Yeah. Worked out for me. Cool. So yeah, I got two more achievements left there. I think the game is a ton of fun. I am super. The one thing I'll say about this is that there's not much reason for me to go back and, like, once I kind of top this off, there's not really a whole lot of reason to kind of like run through because I've unlocked everything at this point.
I believe, just based on how Vampire Survivors went, that they will fucking put out shit for it. Like, a lot of shit for it. So I'll be back for all of it.
It's not leaving my handheld. Like, it'll be there for when Ponkle finally does release something. And it's just the nature of like how the game is, because it's turn-based and card-based as opposed to kind of like the randomness of playing as one character and building that up over time. Like, there's only so many card combinations you can have in the game, so like they need to add new characters, new enemies, new strategies to it going forward. Yeah, and I think they will. We're going to get tons of expansions for like $1 a piece.
I really hope that it's just like the first game where it's like, here's the Catra expansion. Fuck yeah, dude. I'm fucking
That would be hysterical.
Let's go. Give me a Castlevania expansion or whatever. Like,
But yeah, but like add in the Castlevania characters, and this stuff. Add in the Contra stuff. Like, I think that would be awesome. Maybe do some other cool.
They did a ton of expansions on the first game. I bought them all. I played them all.
They're great.
Some of them were beefier than others. Some of them were like, the Contra one was like a second game. Some were just like, here's a couple characters and here's
so
a stage.
Much. Yeah, a lot of like, and like those ones are, they're properly priced though too. Some of those are like $2, and it's like, all right, here's a stage, here's two new characters, have at it. Like here's like five new items or whatever, to figure it out. Or like you get something like Castlevania or Contra, or there's like one that's like three new maps in the one expansion. And they're all reasonably priced too. Like they're never more than like $5-$10 at most.
Most of them are $2-$3.
So, great game. I also bought Mario Tennis. I have not played it yet. I was expecting.
You should have consulted me on that one.
I wanted to play it, and I did. You were like, you might enjoy it. Like
you want to have it
for people.
Yeah, but even then, it's like people are not going to want to play it.
So that's so I bought it because it really shitty weather, which Tony could probably attest to over the holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Like cold, rainy, but we still had our Memorial Day party on Saturday, and but everybody was inside, so I was like, with everybody inside, I'll set up Rock Band in the back room. Because like some of the older kids like to play that, and like the younger kids want to play like Mario Kart, and I'll get Mario Tennis, so like they have choices. And they didn't even turn the Switch 2 on.
Such a sad state.
They played Rock Band for hours in the back room, the older kids did, but we ended up playing a game called Fishbowl in the front room, which when I was talking with Jeff on the day of the party, I basically explained it as like charades. So everybody that's playing, you split everybody into two teams, and then everybody writes three clues down, and they get folded up and put into a bowl. And then the first round, somebody goes up, they're pulling things out, they have a minute to act out what the thing on the piece of paper is. After all the things in the bowl are done, round two starts, and then you have to explain what is on the paper, but you can't say the word. And then you throw them all back in again, and then the third round is where you can use one word that's the only word you can say, and your team has to guess it. This entertained people for hours. I played one game of it, but you put enough alcohol on people and they'll play stupid shit for
hours.
They'll
do anything. So, like, right, Jeff?
Jeff said he was like, I would be the one outside having the smoke party.
Said they're playing Rock Band here, Shrey's in here, and I was like, I'd be out in the fucking garage doing a cigarette smoking competition.
But yeah, I was really surprised. I really thought like, cause I even got out like,
dude,
pro controllers.
Kids just don't give a fuck anymore, man.
I was like, cause like I know I don't want to play with the Joy-Con, so I was like, I got all the pro controllers out, hooked them all up. Because I have two for the Switch 1 and two for the Switch 2. And I just hooked them all up to the Switch 2. So, like, everybody could play at once and nobody wanted to touch it. Like, it's like, this
is crazy.
Depressing.
Man. Yeah, that's really sad.
Also, we are playing Skyward Sword for Video Game Club. And Yeah, I don't think I like that game.
How are you playing Skyward Sword?
On the
you
Switch.
Bust out. Huh?
I'm playing the Switch version of
Skyward Sword. Oh, yeah, that's right. That one was ported.
Yeah, yes. I'm playing Skyward Sword HD, which I
it's just the controls, dude.
They're not good.
The controls and the depressing fucking overworld. Like, what? Who thought that was an okay thing to do? I don't know. I still like every time this game comes up, I have to pat myself on the back because I called that shit the fucking week that game came out. I played it. And I said, "Nah, dude, this ain't right." And IGN gave that shit a fucking 10, and I was like, "Dude, this is like a 7 at best." Like, it has two good dungeons. It has two good dungeons, but the rest of it is terrible.
I think you might have scored it lower than that. You wrote the review for us. you were like one of the harshest critics we saw when that game came out.
And which is like a hard thing to do. Like, I don't want to make myself a contrarian. And also, like, I love Zelda. Zelda is like my favorite fucking game. That's it. Like, and I had to look at that game and be like, what the fuck were they thinking? There's things in it that were like the seeds of the new games, but like, good lord. I guess, again, it has better dungeons. Like, it has a couple dungeons that are better than anything in the new ones, but good lord, dude. Go play fucking Twilight Princess. Like, Skyward Sword sucks.
I wish Twilight Princess was on the Switch.
I know. I've been thinking about it so much. I'm like, how do we have Skyward Sword on Switch and not Twilight Princess, which is actually an incredible Zelda game? Like,
what were you going to say, Tony?
No, all I said was, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I think I would prefer to play Twilight Princess or...
Dude, so much better.
Also, can we just get Wind Waker HD on Switch?
I know, dude.
Just give me that.
I don't know if I get it right away because I did just play the GameCube app. Yeah. Which is a little clunky, but once you get like used to it, I think I had to change some camera options. But ultimately, I think the original GameCube version really still holds up. Also, Nintendo, by the way, if you want, you could throw the fucking Twilight Princess from GameCube onto the GameCube app. Just saying. I don't know.
So, funny. I don't know if it's funny.
Because I do want to play that game again. I love the dungeons of that game. Anyways.
Anecdote from my brief hour and a half of Skyward Sword so far is start playing a game and you move around with the left stick. And you don't start off with a sword as Link in Skyward Sword. He has no weapon. So I'm trying to like navigate out of the fucking room and the right stick does not control the camera like it would
it controls your every other.
Yeah. So it's like you have to press in LB to then be able to kind of like control the camera. It's so goddamn annoying. And then you get the sword, and it's like, yeah, the sword is linked to the analog, the right analog stick.
Yeah.
Like, ah! Which,
hey, it, in a way, it was better than fucking what you had to do on the Wii, which is swing your fucking hand around the whole game. Like,
True.
I don't know. I think part of that game's fault is because of the system it was on. I hate the Wii. But,
wow.
Like, I know, I really do. Like, what Super Mario Galaxy now, it makes me so mad that it was a Wii game because it's so perfect otherwise, except for the stupid fucking pointer shit. Like, god damn, I fucking
agree.
All that shit.
Any of the motion, because it doesn't translate
to well modern.
To modern controls, yeah.
To so, like, regular controls, not modern, just regular.
Yeah. Normal controls.
Such a gimmick. Like, the Wii is such a fucking gimmick, dude.
Wii Sports was great, though.
Hell yeah. And, like, you know, that carries on. Like, you could still play that today. And
yep.
But just, there should have been a solution for system mostly feeling just regular, like how the Switch is.
Yeah, it would be nice. The Switch is such... It's looking perfect. Back, and I like the Wii U a lot, but it is so much better in every way.
The Switch is perfect. I think it's my favorite system ever, but...
love it. Anyway, yeah, so... look forward to hearing you talk about Skyward.
Enjoy playing through that one. It does, like, dude, the dungeons are incredible. There is an incredible pirate ship dungeon, I think, that is really, really good. Like, it's just like you have to wade through like this fucking mediocrity.
Yeah.
Like, there's this guy. Have you played through the game all the way before, Chris?
I played halfway on the on the Wii, and then I've got into where I got with the Switch version again.
There's like this
isn't very far.
The main bad guy, you have to fight him multiple times throughout the game, and each time it sucks more and more.
I remember fucking, that, yes.
The fucking overworld is literally just like nothing. Like, you fucking fly from island to island. At least like Wind Waker had a lot of islands, and it had the atmosphere of being out in the open sea, not just floating through nothing. You know,
yeah, there's, I mean? Like, there's nothing out.
There's nothing. When you're flying. It's nothing.
Just like clouds underneath you, and then like a rock, maybe like 1,000 like, yards in front of you.
Like, Wind Waker is sparse, but it's like such a joy, and it's such a sense of adventure when you're out on the sea and like, oh, there's a treasure there. I can like lower my hook claw into the fucking ocean and grab. Like, there's just none of that. It's just fucking nothing. It's just like, go fly from this rock to this rock. Great. Thanks, dude. You fucking ruined Zelda, you fucking idiots.
Well, tune in sometime, and probably it'll be
who did this? Whose fault is this?
So Dax picked this one. Well, you know, we present a bunch of options, and we ended up tied between Skyward Sword and Epic Mickey, and so then we put it up to the Discord, where, like, you know, Movie Guru and Matron Nadia and them are still like at on the IGN Discord there, and it ended up Skyward Sword just destroyed Epic Mickey. Tune in July or August when Javi and I shit all over Skyward Sword, because I don't think we're gonna like it.
Again, there's things that are amazing, but it's like, it might be my least favorite Zelda game.
Yeah, not enjoying it so far. So, but yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Jeff and I believe, are gonna play Mina the Hollower.
I am so hyped.
I am excited for it. So looking forward to getting that shortly.
It looks so incredible. Like, everything I've heard about it, oh my god. it's gonna be a treat.
We've had this discussion. I like 2D Zelda games. Like, I prefer them over the 3D ones, and this is like modeling after that, but like, it's so much more as well.
It's basically like every game I like it's kind of like Crimson Desert again. Like, hey, do you like Zelda? Yes. Do you like fucking Souls games? Yes. Like, here you go. Like, I forgot what else. Dude, I listened to the interview they did with Nintendo Voice Chat. One of the games they referenced as inspiration was Gremlins 2 for the NES. Like, these guys know ball, man. Like, these guys, I could tell from listening to them that they're like the developers are like literally like my age. Like, they're like, oh yeah, I got an NES when I was like 5 years old, and when I got Super Mario 2 was just coming out and Zelda 2 was just coming out, I was like, that's literally me. Like, they must be born the same fucking year as me. And they know that era, and they love shit from the new era, and it seems like it's just all got put into this, and I'm just like, dude, I'm fucking, I went from like, oh, I like Shovel Knight, so obviously I'll check out what they do next, but like, everything I've heard about this game, I'm like, holy fucking shit, that just sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, I like Shovel Knight as well. Like, Mega Man, DuckTales, like, cool idea. Yeah, exactly. But man, you're gonna give me like a 2D Zelda with modern touches.
Hook me up. 20-30 hours of shit. And man, like, did you listen to that interview that they did with Nintendo Voice Chat?
I did not. There's I have an interview that Patrick Klepek did for Remap with them as well, so I'll probably listen to that one. But
one of the things they reference is like Majora's Mask, how there's the central town and then you go out in four different directions to the different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of the design of the game. But they're like, oh, what if there's an area behind that? Like, you know, like, you go out in the one direction, you beat the level. What if there's more? Like, they just, like...
The map keeps expanding.
Like, they just took everything that they, like, love, like, all the games that they loved, and just, like, okay, well, let's do this, let's do that. And just, like, the idea... It has also, like, the modern Zelda, like... It has modern Zelda idea in it, like design in it too, where it's like there's a million solutions to a puzzle. It's not just one thing. It's just like whatever tools you have, if you could think of a way to use them to get past something, that you could get past that. I'm like, that's what I love about the new Zeldas, and that they put that in like a 2D top down Zelda game. Oh man, like, dude, I just
it's gonna be fun.
I'm gonna call it sick tomorrow.
So we'll have that on our next episode, and Tony may be back from his traveling and start Forza Horizon.
I can only hope.
One more thing. I just caught this. I did not know this existed. Did you guys know there's a new arcade basketball game coming out that looks like NBA Street called NBA Run?
The Run? Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty awesome.
This looks really cool. It really looks like a modern day NBA Street game. It comes out on June 9th. I just caught it looking at Open Critic. They were like, upcoming games, NBA The Run. I'm like, that's a dumb name. And I look at it, and it has like a cool cell shaded visual touch to it. It really looks like NBA Street 2.
I wish I loved basketball more. I loved basketball when I was a kid and the Bulls were awesome. So, and like NBA Jam, I think it might be in the Hall of Fame already for me.
Yeah. And that's your era, right? When the Bulls were dominant.
But I don't watch basketball at all anymore. I basically don't watch sports except for football.
What?
Can we get a new NFL Blitz?
Oh, please, yes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But, like, dude, I want to support bringing that genre back. Like, those sports games were so... Like, even if you weren't into the sport, they were fun to play. Like, I've never been into hockey, but NHL Hits was fucking awesome, dude.
Hits was great. Yeah, I hope this game does good, because I hope that, like, other... It then spawns, like, a resurgence of those types of games.
Yeah,
man, a cool arcade hockey game would be awesome.
Because I would never even try to play one of the new EA hockey games. I wouldn't. Like, I just know it'd be too simmy for me, and like, it's not a sport I'm familiar with and know or care about. I want to smash people through the fucking glass and get in the fights and shit, and like, you know, have cool fucking power ups and whatnot. Like,
well, Don't worry, Jeff. Don't try out any of the new EA hockey games, because they tried to sell me the latest one this week for $15, like the deluxe version that's normally $100. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I like the NHL games. And I went in, I read some of the reviews, and they are the worst they've ever been. Like, this is the worst EA hockey game ever, and but it's the only hockey game ever. So.
If you don't have competition, it's almost like it breeds laziness.
Yeah. Bring back arcade sports games, please.
I would play arcade sports games about sports I didn't give a fuck about. Do it.
Yeah. Give us a Blitz or NFL Street was fun too.
I know there's still like arcade sports games that don't have licensing, but I want the licensing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
You want to play as the,
yeah,
the players you know.
Yeah. Even though I don't know any NBA players, maybe I'll give it a shot.
You probably know more NBA players than you think you know.
You'd be surprised. I do know that the Knicks
are everywhere.
I do know the Knicks got into the finals because everyone on Twitter won't shut up about it. And congrats to the Knicks. I didn't know it had been that long.
It's been a while, right?
I'm saying this is a Chicago boy. That is a very nice olive branch I just threw out there. I fucking hated the Knicks as a kid.
All right. Well, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.